We continue our learning. We are in Sukkah Perek Beis Mishnah Dalet. Ha'oses Sukkoso Bein Ha'ilanos V'Ha'ilanos Defanos La. As opposed to the previous Mishnah, where a person was building his sukkah, where the floor of the sukkah was on the tree itself, here the floor of the sukkah is the ground, and he's using the ilanos, he's using the trees as the walls. So the schach, he's not leaning on the tree itself. That would be problematic. He's leaning them on some type of frame on poles. So says the Mishnah, if you make your sukkah yibein ha'ilanos, and the ilanos are the walls of the sukkah, kshera, and we're not afraid a person may end up using the tree itself to lean some of his objects on the tree, which is prohibited, not permitted, as we said, to lean on a tree, to use a tree on Shabbos, for the fear you may pull off a branch, or part of the same gezeira of climbing a tree. Now, the Gemara says this sukkah is only kosher if these trees are strong enough, or he tied them. Let's say they're a little bit shaky, but he tied them and strengthened them in that way. They have to be able to withstand a ruach mitzuya. If you have where the walls are moving, so that would be problematic. Then the Mishnah says the following, Shluchei mitzvah, Pturin min ha-sukkah, those people who are on their way to greet their Rebbe or to do the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim, they're traveling away from their city, and so the Mishnah says they're involved in doing a mitzvah. So these people are pater min ha-sukkah because of the general principle, osek b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. If you are busy with one mitzvah, you're occupied with one mitzvah, you're exempt from another mitzvah. Now this is derived from the pasuk in Kriya Shema, where we say b'shivtecha b'veisecha, which means when do you have an obligation of a dibar tabam to speak the words of Shema to fulfill that mitzvah? That's only when you're sitting in your house, which means you're involved in a devar harashus, you're not busy, you're not occupied with a mitzvah, then you have to reach Shema. That implies that if you're occupied with a mitzvah, you're not just b'shivtecha b'veisecha sitting in your house, then you will be exempt from performing a mitzvah. Now, what does it mean to be osek b'mitzvah? So Rashi's of the opinion, osek b'mitzvah is even true b'shas chaniyasam, b'alayla, even when people are resting at night, you're sleeping, there's no obligation to find a sukkah or build a sukkah to go through that trouble to build a sukkah, find a sukkah in order to sleep. So it's not only during the day, but it's even at night. And the Mordechai explains why that's considered osek b'mitzvah. After all, you're just sleeping. Nonetheless, getting a good night's sleep and not having to worry about where you're going to be. You're going to find a sukkah. Sukkah may not be that comfortable. You have to build a sukkah. Here, you get a good night's sleep. Then you can perform the mitzvah tomorrow. Even better to fulfill the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim, let's say, for example. Therefore, that's considered osek b'mitzvah. Another Rishonim disagree and claim, Iran and others, that no, if I'm able to perform both without too much trouble at all, I have an obligation to do so. Tosfos even makes the point against the Rashi and others who claim that you're pater even when you're not busy. Would you say that if a person wearing tzitzis is pater from all mitzvahs because it's osek b'mitzvah, you're wearing tefillin, you're pater from all mitzvahs because you're osek b'mitzvah? Clearly not. If I'm able to perform both, of course I should do both. Then the Mishnah says, Cholin umisham shehen p'turim min ha-sukkah. People who are ill or their attendants are p'turim min ha-sukkah. According to some, the attendants are only p'turim when they're helping the people who are sick. If they're free, you have some time off, they're not going to be p'turim min ha-sukkah. Why is the Chol p'turim min ha-sukkah? The Pasuk says, Basukos teshuvu. You have to live in the sukkah. You live in the sukkah, teshuvu, kein taduru, is a reflection of the way you live in your house. The same way, if you're uncomfortable in a particular room, let's say you'd go to another room. That may explain the reason for the exemption of rain as well. So too, if a person's uncomfortable, something's harmful, something's uncomfortable, he's uncomfortable in the sukkah, and he can relieve, according to many Rishonim, he can relieve that discomfort by coming into the house. So therefore, he's going to be pater min ha-sukkah. That reminds us of, let's say, the avil. Why is an avil chayiv in the sukkah? He's also mitztayer. He's also uncomfortable. The answer is because coming into the house is not going to make a difference for him. Coming to the house, he's still going to be sad. So an avil, therefore, is going to be chayiv in sukkah. But the cholim, those who are sick, and those who are attending to them, are pater min ha-sukkah. Those who are attending to them, of course, are pater because they're osek v'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. And then the Mishnah is says, Ochlin concludes, Ochlin v'shosin aroi chutz la'sukkah. You're allowed to eat and drink aroi in a casual way where it's a snack outside of the sukkah. So the Gemara explains that of course, is achila, is considered, that's arai achila, casual eating is a kibetza or less of bread, let's say. That can be eaten officially outside the sukkah. You would not make a bracha, let's say, leishiv basukkah, if you're eating less than a kibetza of bread in the sukkah, because you're not chayv in sukkah officially. And drinking also arai is chutz la'sukkah. There's some debate about what does it mean? Is drinking, maybe all drinking is arai. So the implication of the Mishnah is that there's a type of drinking that's arai, that's like a snack that's casual, and there's one that's keva. So some would claim that maybe drinking wine would have the status of drinking that's keva, and others would disagree and say the Mishnah doesn't mean to imply that there's any type of shasi of drinking that's considered keva. All drinking is arai, but certainly achila, there's a difference between arai and keva. Perek Beis Mishnah Hey. Masa vehiviu lo l'Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai lit'om es hatavshil. So we're going to tell you two stories. One of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was brought food, cooked food to taste, and he said, bring them up to the sukkah. Ula Rabban Gamliel, shtei kosavos. Rabban Gamliel's story is where they brought him two dry dates, udali shalmaim, and a pitcher or a pail of water. Vamu, and they both said, halam l'sukkah, literally bring them up to the sukkah. The sukkah was typically on people's roofs, so bring them up to the sukkah. Now, the chiddush here, or the mishnah, of course, is that in both of these cases, there was an exemption from eating the sukkah. Nonetheless, they were machmir upon themselves, and the chiddush of the mishnah is that being machmir on yourself to eat in the sukkah, we say, harezeh meshubach, you're considered praiseworthy, and no one would call you, say that this is an issue of yuhara, of arrogance. And therefore, it's permitted, a person can be machmir, harezeh meshubach, the halacha is anything, even water to drink in the sukkah, we say, harezeh meshubach. Now, let's go through each of these cases. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, they brought him a tafsha lit'om. When they say lit'om, so lit'om is there to tell you that he's only tasting it. So that presupposes that he's eating less than a shir, meaning it is a kibetz or less, just to taste. Sounds like it's not a sudas kev, it sounds like it's an achilas aroi. And what's the reason why he is exempt from the sukkah, although he was machmir? Is it because it's bread less than a kibetzah or less? The only thing is, it also says tavshil. So tavshil could mean a cooked food of bread, but it also could mean another type of cooked food. It could be even fruit that's cooked. And therefore, there may be a second reason why this he is exempt from sukkah, and that is because even if he had more than a kibetzah worth of this food, maybe this food wasn't one of the five grains anyway, and he's able to eat that outside of the sukkah regardless. Rabban Gamliel's halacha, the case of Rabban Gamliel, rather, the story where he asked that the water and the two kosavos, two dry dates, be brought to the sukkah to eat them there. Why is that so? So the Gemara in Maseches Yoma on Daf Ayin Tes gives two reasons, and they're really contradictory, as to why Rabban Gamliel was not obligated to eat these two dates in the sukkah. Number one is that two dates without their pits don't even equal a kibetzah. So it was less than the shear. It wasn't a problem. Now, that being the reason, if that's the reason which the Gemara offers as a possibility, that sounds like had it been fruit, dates that are more than a kibetzah, he would be chayv to eat them in the sukkah. And others say, no, that's not why. Rather, it was the mere fact, two dates, could be that they were more, maybe the pits were in them, or regardless, two dates do equal more than a kibetzah, and the reason why he didn't have to bring them into the sukkah is the same reason it was because of the water, and that is because there's not chayv in sukkah, because it's fruit. So what conclusion should we draw? There's a minority of Rishonim draw from a conclusion that, based on the first answer, that if in fact you are eating fruit, even fruit, more than a kibetzah worth, you have to eat them in the sukkah. And the halacha follows the position, no, like the second answer, which is no. It could be in this story the dates were more than a kibetzah. But the reason why it was a chumrah that he had to bring them to the sukkah, he wasn't obligated, it was because it's fruit, it wasn't of the five grains, and it's not a problem. Then the Mishnah says, ukshe nosnu lo Rabbi Tzadok, ochel pachos mikabetzah. When they gave Rabbi Tzadok food less than a kibetza, which he's not chayav to eat in the sukkah, nitalo b'mapa. Number one, he ate it by putting it in a cloth, didn't touch it with his bare hands. V'achalo chutzlo sukkah, he ate it outside of the sukkah, v'lo beirach acharav, and didn't bench afterwards. So we're going to go through these three things. They're three different issues. One is the issue of using a cloth, not touching with your hands. Obviously, he did not perform netilas yadayim. Number two is the fact that he ate it outside of the sukkah, and the last, that he didn't bench afterwards. So let's take the first case. He put it in a cloth. What's that all about? So why should it have there? Why did I do that at all? Why couldn't he touch it with his bare hands? So apparently this was either bread, for which you have to wash, or this was, then you have to wonder why it's okay that he's putting it in a cloth, or maybe it was a fruit or a vegetable that it was dipped in liquid, like we do the Seder, and the halacha is you have to wash it until the time when it comes to davar shetibulo b'mashke, where you have something that's dipped into a liquid. Since it's liquid, you have to wash your hands. It's halacha, because your hands will make a tummy, because your hands make the liquid tummy, which then makes the food tummy. Different reasons, the possibilities of what happened in the Mishnah. Regardless, why is it that he's putting it in a cloth? So it must be that he holds that you don't really need it till asya daim. He was being machmir just for cleanliness, to put it in a cloth, not to touch it with his bare hands. But halachically, there was no obligation to wash it till asya daim. You cannot substitute holding the bread with a cloth. That doesn't work when there's an obligation until asya daim. Why did he feel there was no obligation? So it could be that because it was less than a kibetza, he didn't have an obligation to wash his hands at all. Why? Well, when it comes to tumah, we usually assume that something that's less than a kibetza cannot transmit tumah to other things. So maybe there's a kula there. Maybe the chi of netilas yadayim, assuming it's bread, that relates to birkas hamazon. And birkas hamazon, you're not chayav to bench unless you're eating a kibetza. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. V'achalta v'savato v'rach, you have to be full. If it's less than a kibetza, so there's no chi of birkas hamazon. No chi of birkas hamazon, maybe there's no chi of netilas yadayim, and that's why he didn't wash, but for cleanliness purposes, he put it in a cloth. And others say that Rabbi Tzadok was a Kohen, and Rabbi Tzadok generally, before he ate truma, he would have to wash his hands. Today, it's a universal practice to wash our hands before we eat anything, any type of bread. But in the past, only a Kohen had to worry about that. Why? Because the truma could become a shlishi lituma. Stam, your hands general have the status of a sheni lituma. So truma food, bread, let's say, is an example. Truma bread could become tameh, and therefore you have to wash it to the asyadayim. But the food we're talking about here was not truma. It was chulin. And when it comes to chulin, technically, a Kohen should not have to wash his hands. Nonetheless, Kohenim were strict to eat the chulin b'tahara, to wash their hands also. But since that's a stringency, that we allow them to be, don't have to be that strict by doing it to the Sedaim, you couldn't keep your hands in a cloth. So it wasn't so much about cleanliness. There was a tuma aspect to this, but because it was chulin, it wasn't an issue. So that takes care of the mapa. Then it says he ate it outside of the sukkah. That's easy. It was less than a kibetza. You don't have to eat. The less than a kibetza can be eaten outside of the sukkah, even if it's grain. And then it says, v'lo beirach acharav. He didn't bench afterwards. Why? So obviously he subscribes to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that you're only chayv b'rkas hamazon d'oraisa v'achalta v'savata if you're full. You have to eat a kibetza. Of course, our practice is that we assume there's a chiv to bench. Maybe all, maybe drabanan, but we certainly bench even when we eat a kezayis worth of bread, based on Rabbi Meir's position, who claims that achilus b'kezayis, and we'd have to have an obligation. There's an obligation to bench even on a kezayis.